It's 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk. And this is Atlanta, the food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Sponsored by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. City Springs Theater Company in Sandy Springs is bringing the production of Beauty and the Beast to the stage. For three decades now, this tale as old as time has been delighting audiences of all ages and across the globe. Today in the studio, we have Bjork Lee, director and choreographer. And Bjork is also a Tony Award recipient for her work. And also we have Natalie Delancey, executive director of City Springs Theater. So welcome to Atlanta Living, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Absolutely. So Beauty and the Beast is the most family-friendly show that y'all've ever produced, correct?
That's correct. We're thrilled to produce this Disney classic, bringing young audience members to the theater along with their families. And we just could not be more excited about our upcoming production in March.
Now, how long has City Springs Theater been in operation?
We were formed in 2017 with our first production taking place right after the grand opening of the Sandy Springs Performing Arts Center in fall of 2018. So this is our sixth season of musicals in Sandy Springs, and we're just delighted to be in such a wonderful community at a beautiful venue.
Oh, Natalie, I went to see White Christmas over the holidays. It is a theater not to be missed.
Yes.
I mean, it is a, I hate to say a mini Fox, but it is along those lines. I mean, it is elegant.
Yes.
It is well thought out.
Good, good.
It is amazing.
The city of Sandy Springs did a wonderful job building the venue. It's very intimate.
Yes.
So it's three stories, but it doesn't feel like
it. No.
And so it's perfect for Broadway-style musicals, and we're thrilled to call that our home.
What's the seating capacity?
1,000.
Wow, it doesn't feel bad.
I know. I agree. It's like a big Broadway house.
Now, tell us about the classic story, The Beauty and the Beast.
Well, everybody has seen the animation.
Yes.
And Disney has put it on the stage. And it takes place at a small city in France. And this young girl, she's kind of odd. And her father is an inventor. He makes all of these just crazy things. And the town just kind of isolates them. And he goes off into the woods. And he gets lost. And he sees this big castle. And he goes inside, and he's quite surprised when all of these inanimate objects start talking to him, and the beast lives there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a spell that was put on the beast when he was very, very young. This old lady came, and she gave him a rose, and he turned her away, and she said, "You'll be sorry for this."
Right.
And she turns out to be a beautiful enchantment.
Right, and it is a story that's lived for decades and decades.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what is your favorite part of the production of Beauty and the Beast?
I think it's the dancing and the music and the singing and all of the entertainment that they give Belle, who finally goes to look for her father in the castle, and all of these enchantments, they just entertain her.
Absolutely. And it's a time-tested story.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, it's held up for three decades now, and children of all ages love this. And not just children. This is a story for all ages.
And we will have Disney magic on the stage, I promise. So it is not a show to be missed. Very family-friendly. And, of course, seeing all these objects come to life is just more fun than we can even say. So come see us.
All right. Now, you have shows coming up that I'm very excited about. Let's talk about those.
In May, we have Legally Blonde.
I can't wait. I can't tell you how many times I've seen Legally Blonde, the movie.
It's the best movie to just watch over and over
and over.
You never get tired of it. The stage version is very similar to the movie. So you've got to come see The Bend and Snap on stage.
Oh, yes.
And then this summer, we are the regional premiere, meaning we are the first to locally produce Jersey Boys.
Oh.
Yes. So that is what's happening this summer with City Springs Theater Company. Going to be a very special show. Of course, the music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. So we're looking forward to closing out our sixth season.
You've got a busy season ahead. How can we get tickets, Natalie, for any of these shows?
Of course. Visit CitySpringsTheater.com. You can purchase tickets online or call our box office directly. All of the information is on the website.
And there's great restaurants around there, so make it a full night.
That's
City
right.
City Springs Theater, Sandy Springs, around that City Springs Theater has wonderful restaurants.
Yes.
So just make it a full night.
Park once, eat, see a show. And then go home. Minimal traffic, great environment, wonderful productions.
Absolutely. Thank you, ladies, for joining us on Atlanta Living.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Stay tuned. Coming up next is Breaking Chews with David Danzig. And now we're going to go over to Breaking Chews on Atlanta Living because it is time for our weekly checkup on up-to-breaking news about our local restaurants, chefs, and festivals. I'm here with our foodie correspondent, David Danzig, of the website BitesAndSights.net. So today is National Clam Chowder Day, which is sort of lame because we've already had National Clam Chowder Day back in January.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I guess you stack the this part of the year, right, when it's cold with some
yes.
of the heartier foods. So, yes, okay, happy National New England Clam Chowder Day. So that is today. But next week, Belinda, on Thursday, which, by the way, is Leap Day. Can you believe we're having?
Oh, that's right.
It's our once in four
yes.
years Leap Day. We actually have a 29th day of February. So this Thursday, the 29th of February, is National Chili Day.
Oh, great.
And I love chili.
Love chili, and I have the best recipe.
You make your own.
I make my own.
Do you have any restaurant chili that you're a fan of?
I usually don't order it out because I have such a great recipe.
Because you're
myself.
Just you can't be topped. Okay, that's
topped.
Fair. Well, maybe you should start a chili restaurant.
Maybe
we could
so.
All we could all check that out. But I like if you wanted when I have a hankering for chili. Fox Brothers Barbecue.
Okay.
They just make gorgeous, you know, kind of Texas style chili. Grindhouse Killer Burgers has a really good chili as well. Probably my favorite though is good old Ted's Montana Grill. They do bison chili.
Oh yeah.
At Ted's Montana Grill. So those are you know, if you want to put that on your calendar for Thursday Leap Day, go ahead to one of those places and get your chili fix. So also speaking of Leap Day, Belinda, Mellow Mushroom is offering free delivery this coming Thursday
cool.
to honor Leap Day on Leap Year. And did you know Mellow Mushroom is 50 years old now?
Now I'm feeling old.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you're from Atlanta, Mellow Mushroom, this is our homegrown, but it
yeah.
is now, there's 160 Mellow Mushrooms all over
wow.
the place, and this is their 50th year. And among other things they're doing to refresh the brand, they're supposedly going to be opening a new prototype store this summer along the Southside Beltline Trail in Grant Park.
Okay.
And it's supposedly going to be 3,400 square feet, totally different than
wow.
all these other locations. I'm pretty excited to see what this is. That's a really, it's a, first of all, it's a delicious brand. I love Mellow Mushroom
love
Pizza.
Their crust.
And their crust is delicious. And so we'll see what this 50-year anniversary brings. So another big, you know, recent news. It's not as big for me as the Michelin Guide. It's okay. But the Forbes Travel Guide. This used to
mm-hmm.
be the mobile.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's the Forbes Travel Guide. The awards were recently announced. Two Atlanta restaurants got 4 stars. It's a 4 out of 5, which is still pretty, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty rare air. So Atlas and Bacchanalia
awesome.
Both got 4 out of 5 stars. So kudos to them to go along with their Michelin star they got this year. The inspectors from Forbes on Atlas said, not to be outdone by the Henri Matisse piece hanging on the wall, Chef Freddie Money approaches each dish with the discerning eye of a sculptor. So I completely agree with that.
Yes.
Freddie Money is an artist. And Atlas and Buckhead is amazing. And then on Bacchanalia,
yeah.
the chefs and owners at the 4-star Atlanta restaurant, Ann Quattrano and Clifford Harrison, are a celebrated husband and wife team who create contemporary American cuisine. And they are both amazing. I know them both. They source all their
yes.
food from their farm as well. So that's Bacchanalia. Congratulations to Bacchanalia and Atlas on their Forbes four-star designation. Now, we had a Michelin star restaurant closed this week, Belinda. Can you believe that?
Are you kidding me?
Yes. Okay, there's an asterisk. So that was a little bit of a clickbait or whatever, a voice bait. But Lazy Betty closed the Candler Park location. It was planned. Everybody relax. Take a deep breath. So that was all planned. They are moving their location to the former Empire State South space in Midtown. So everybody, I know I kind of tricked everybody there. But Lazy Betty closed Candler Park. Opening in Midtown, it's coming later this year.
Okay, that's a great location.
And finally, a restaurant that's been in Tucker since 1985, Blue Ribbon Grill, it closed today. So the Blue Ribbon Grill is now closed. They are looking for a new space, and they hope to stay around Tucker, but you know they're struggling with what a lot of restaurants are, which is rents going up.
Yes.
And contracts come up, and then they just it doesn't make sense to stay in their same place. So we will be, you know, crossing our fingers for Blue Ribbon Grill to come back. They do have a GoFundMe set up to help with business costs of relocating and paying their staff. So fingers crossed for them.
Well, where can we find you during the week, sweetheart?
My website is called Bites N Sites, which is B-I-T-E-S, the letter N, S-I-T-E-S.net. And my social media handle is at Bites and Sites.
Excellent. I can't wait to see what you bring to the table next week. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on 95.5 WSB. And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, you've had those great margaritas out at your favorite restaurant, but you try to make them at home and they don't taste the same. So I brought in the beverage director from Super Rica, Laura Creasley, and she's going to tell you how to make the oomph back in that margarita at home so it tastes like the one at your favorite restaurant, like the ones at Super Rica. So Laura, what can we do to our margaritas at home?
The most important thing to get a good margarita is to start with quality ingredients. So you're going to want to buy a good tequila, and you only want to get 100% agave tequila. So what I mean by that is don't go to the bottom shelf. Go to the, you know, the middle to high shelf at your liquor store. Get a good quality tequila. We use El Jimador at Super Rica, and it's a great brand. The next thing that you want to do is you should use fresh lime. A lot of people think that buying bottled lime is just as good as juicing yourself, but juicing yourself makes all the difference. So just get fresh limes, and even if you just have a hand squeezer or one of those old-fashioned orange juicers, juice your own fresh lime. So important. And then I use triple sec in my margarita because I think it's a necessary ingredient. So something like Cointreau or even fancy like Grand Marnier is a great call to get your margarita to taste good. But the technique is really important too. And I think the step people skip a lot of the time is shaking. Ooh. And when you're combining lime juice with the other ingredients and you shake it, it gives a really, really great texture. And I think that's what people appreciate about restaurant margaritas that they miss out on home. They try to just build it in the glass and it falls flat. But if you shake it and then you put it in a nice, beautiful glass, put salt on the rim and use that lime that you got for juicing to make a nice, fresh-looking garnish, you'll be really surprised how different the experience can be.
Now, what if we want to add some maybe little extra touch of some jalapeno or some extra citrus to that? How difficult is that?
It's really not hard at all. So if you buy fresh jalapeno at the store, you really just need about 2 thin slices to make a margarita spicy enough. So what we do is to just kind of muddle it in the shaker when you're about to shake your margarita, give it a good shake, and then it really will kick up the heat, and you can use that for garnish as well, and it looks really pretty. If you want to put other citrus in your margarita, orange juice is the natural choice because that makes it what we call a Texas margarita to put the orange juice in there. You just want to add a little bit along with the lime juice when you're shaking, and it goes really great with the triple sec and takes it to the next level.
Well, that's what we're talking about, how to take that margarita to the next level. Thank you, Laura Creasley from Super Rica, where you can have that next level margarita. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on 95.5 WSB.
95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk. And this is Atlanta, the food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Sponsored by Georgia Spa Company.
Welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Folks, I have the George McCarrow in the studio, founder of Ted's Montana Grill, which, of course, is an Atlanta-based restaurant. And we're going to be talking about bison today because bison is a lean, healthy protein that we all need to be eating. Right, George?
Right. It's America's number one protein. It's native to North America, and it is heart healthy and very, very lean and good for you.
Now, you being the founder of Ted's Montana Grill, you are an icon in this city. You go back how many years in this city in the restaurant industry?
Well, I came here in 1976 with a company called Victoria Station, and really, in 1981, just down the street, I opened the first Longhorn Steakhouse.
Yes.
And, you know, since then, I've been aggravating everybody in Atlanta with whatever restaurants I can.
Absolutely. And a success story with everything you touch. Okay, let's talk bison. Bison over beef. I mean, beef is great.
Absolutely.
But bison is king.
Right. So here's what's beautiful. Bison is a wild animal. It's not domesticated the way that cattle is. Bison eat almost 100% grass. They do not forage for much else. Occasionally they'll eat a few grains or some alfalfa. It makes the meat extremely lean. So a bison fillet steak is 97% fat-free, richer in omega-3 fatty acids, and half the fat and cholesterol of a beef fillet. Basically, when you compare beef to bison, you're getting 50%.
Wow, that much?
Yes.
That's tremendous. So when you're talking about eating healthy and eating clean, bison is the way to go.
It is a super clean protein. What we find is a lot of the folks that are weightlifters and bodybuilders and other things really dine with us a lot because protein is good for you. Red meat protein is good for you as long as you don't eat too much of it. But, you know, the amount of fat in anything is a negative, right?
Right.
So if you went to a doctor with a heart healthy or the heart problem and said you wanted to eat bison, they would say, okay, it's on a heart healthy diet. Again, in the right quantity at the right time. Yet too much of anything isn't good for you.
Right.
So what we really have in this delicious red meat protein is it looks and tastes and acts a whole lot like beef, which we're so used to.
Right.
But it's half the fat and cholesterol. It's richer in omega-3 fatty acids. Like I told you, it is a super protein. And so as long as you eat it, I recommend that you eat it medium or above.
I was going to ask you, should we eat bison more on the rare side than we do beef?
Right, because of the fact that it has very little fat in it, it is super lean, and so if you eat it past medium, it will tend to get a little bit less flavorful and a little bit more tough. So a lot of people have gone over the years, which is why we introduced it the way we did at Ted's Montana Grill to the America's Table, is they would go to the grocery store and buy bison, cook it just like a beefsteak, and all of a sudden your more expensive steak is a piece of shoe leather.
Right.
When you get done with it. So the point is you either cook it slow and low, or if you're going to grill it or cook it, you know, the way we did at Longhorn or we do at Ted's on a flat top grill, you want to cook it on the medium rare side. And that way you'll have the flavor and the quality and the texture that you're looking for in any great steak or hamburger.
Now, George, I don't know another restaurant where you can order bison.
Well, bison is a little bit more common. So let me start. When we started 22 years ago, bison was nowhere on the table. But that was Ted's vision, was to introduce it to America's Table to save the bison. We've done that. We've doubled the size of the herd. Bison ranchers are healthy. And it's basically in every grocery store in the United States. Costco is the number one seller of bison. Whole Foods, every grocery store chain. However, as far as restaurants go, Ted's Montana Grill is the only restaurant in the world that we know of where you can get a bison fillet steak every day.
Absolutely.
And that's because there's so few of them. Just real quick, there's about 100 million cattle in the United States. there's 600,000 bison alive in the world.
Wow.
So if you equate it, there's about 60,000 bison take it to market a year. There's 135,000 cattle taken every day in the U.S. alone. So it's a very unique product that is a very niche market, but it is available in a grocery store.
Absolutely. Well, be heart healthy. Get your bison at Ted's Montana Grill. How many locations do you have, George?
Well, we have 11 here in Atlanta, 38 across 16 states in the United States.
Well, they're going to find one near you.
Yes, please.
All right. That's George McCarrow with Ted's Montana Grill. Coming up next, we're going to talk craft brew with Jekyll Brewery. So stay tuned. You're listening to Atlanta Living. Okay, folks, from bison to brewing, we have Mike Lundmark with Jekyll Brewing Company on the line with us. Mike, welcome to Atlanta Living.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So let's talk a little bit about Jekyll Brewing. And I'm looking at a Hop Diggity Dang South right now. And tell us a little bit about Jekyll Brewing Company.
Sure. So I founded Jekyll Brewing in 2012, and it was a labor of love of mine to get into it. It seemed like the right time for us to get into craft beer. And so, you know, we always swing big. We go big or go home. So we came to market in 2013, and we were really blessed being the 17th licensed brewery in the state of Georgia. So it was really early in the process. I think
yes.
The state is issuing the 300th license now. We were blessed by actually having one of our beers become so popular, which is, in fact, as you mentioned, Hop Dang Diggity. And Hop Dang Diggity quickly became the best-selling IPA in the state of Georgia in 2014 and 2015. So we were really lucky to have that. Came in trailblazing, you know, trying to build a great brand that told the history of beer in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And then quickly learned, you know, we needed to morph our company a little bit, as all breweries in Georgia did. And collectively, the breweries in Georgia worked to get some legislation changed to
yes.
allow us to begin selling beer directly to customers.
Mm-hmm.
And that opened the market up much more for us and allowed me then to transition my company into more of what I like to call experiential dining, right? So we began as a craft brewery, Jekyll Brewing, and distributed through Florida, Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina.
Wow.
But then after the law changed, it allowed us to be able to sell direct. So we decided to lean into being a curator of consumable goods, built restaurants in high foot traffic areas with a fantastic executive chef, putting the same level of effort into our food as we did our beer.
So you're not just serving pretzels and chips and chicken fingers.
There's no food trucks. We have an executive chef-driven menu that we run, and our executive chef manages five different kitchen managers across our five different locations.
Wow.
And we focus our food. It's a low country format on our menu. That said, our number one item remains to be a burger and wings, right? funny coming off the tail of George being on your show.
Yes.
Our number one selling food item is a smash burger that's half bison and half Wagyu beef. And
oh,
it's,
wow.
It's amazing.
You don't expect that from a brewery, Mike.
Agreed. So we're really more geared to experiential dining now, and we're not just a brewery. We're also a distillery, and we're also a winery. So we're serving all of our own spirits,
mm-hmm.
we're serving all of our own wines, and we're serving all of our own beers along with our executive chef-driven menu. So it's really, that's why I call it experiential dining, right? It's vertically integrated. It's all of our products from the bottom to the top, and with all of our love and passion poured into everything that we're serving to our guests.
So you're distilling vodka, gin, bourbon.
We have a full portfolio of vodka, gin, bourbon, malt whiskey, rum, agave spirit. We age our agave spirit in bourbon barrels for 10 months to turn it into reposado. We have triple sec. We have fire. We have our version of a fireball. I mean, it's a full complement of spirits. I'm really proud of our team. I'm super proud of our master distiller. Really proud of our brewers. You know, it's a team effort.
You should be. That is incredible. Jekyll Brewing Company. Now, where are your locations, Mike?
So we began with our production craft brewery in Alpharetta. And then we built our first restaurant location in the city center of Alpharetta, mm-hmm. Right in the middle of town. So that was our first pilot restaurant location. We built our second one in Woodstock, Georgia, on Main Street. Our third location. Our fourth location opened up in Jacksonville Beach, Florida, right on the beach. You can look over the water mm-hmm. while enjoying our oysters on our menu. And then the last location we just recently opened in December is in Gainesville, Georgia.
Oh, wow. Well, folks, I suggest you find a Jekyll Brewing near you and try them out. Go hungry, whether wine is your thing, craft brew, spirits, you'll find something that you like and fall in love with it. Lundmark, thank you so much for joining us on Atlanta Living.
It's my pleasure, Miss Skelton. Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to continuing to serve Georgia.
Absolutely. You're making us proud. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on 95.5 WSB. And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, we all want to be Irish at least one day a year, and that's St. Patrick's Day. And the St. Patrick's Day parade is coming up, and that's going to be on March the 16th. I know St. Patrick's Day is the 17th, but that falls on a Sunday, so the parade is going to be the 16th. Participation in the parade is not just an Irish thing. The parade attracts individuals and groups from around the city and the South, including clowns, floats, bands, bagpipes, drum corps, children, dancers, drill teams, and more. All groups are encouraged to participate as long as the unit is appropriate for a family event. The emphasis on children and families in celebration of all Atlanta's diverse background on a day when everybody's Irish. And remember, the parade is the 16th of March, not the 17th on the actual St. Patrick's Day, because that falls on Sunday. You'll always learn what's going on in the Atlanta area on Atlanta Living, heard only on 95.5 WSB.